This episode is brought to you by Splash Refresher. I believe in the three beverage rotation on my desk at all times. One for caffeinating, one for hydrating, and one for fun. But Splash, they spice it up by putting the fun and hydration in one. I don't have to dread my 8 cups of water a day. I just drink Splash and like it. My flavor that I've been enjoying the most lately is the wild berry. Keep one on your desk. You'll be hydrated in no time. Find Splash Refresher today on Amazon and Instacart or at your local Walmart, Sam's Club, or Kroger. Betches Media presents
Ha Ha Laugh Funny
Mention It All, a Bravo by Betches podcast.
We don't say that, but now we said it.
With me, Dylan Hafer.
Hold on, check me, boo.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the Mention It All podcast. I'm Dylan Hafer, and welcome to another week in a weird Bravo landscape where there's only one Housewives show airing, and I don't even really feel like talking about it. April is a month, and we're doing it. I'm not going to talk about Potomac today. We'll check in again next week after they finish up their reunion. But right now we are we're kind of freestyling. We're going to catch up on Summer House later this week. I'm excited to dive back into that season. Of course, we've got Vanderpump Rules in the Valley. More on that later. I am now caught up on Top Chef. We're going to talk about that today in a little bit. We've got some other items of business to attend to first, but you know, it's a fun time. It's what a time to be alive, truly. Last week we got a new cast photo for New Jersey to celebrate us being 1 month away from the season premiere. This to me, I'm a little bit like, what are we doing here? You already put out the trailer. You're using the recycled cast photos from last year. We're not going to pretend like photoshopping them onto a new background at the Jersey Shore boardwalk is something to be excited about. Right? Like, it's literally the same pictures, the same outfits, the same glam. I understand that the job of the marketing and, you know, comms department is to, like, get people to watch these shows. We're already going to watch the show. So when you could tell that all the women have been sent the same photo at, you know, noon on a Thursday, and I'm like, hey, girlies, post this. Here's the suggested copy for the caption. Look, I get what they're doing. I just don't know, why couldn't this poster have just been ready when the trailer came out? We still have a month to go. Like, we're not going to have new episodes of Jersey to talk about until May. Basically a full month away. But the one thing about this little poster drop tease, is it a poster? Is it a cast photo? The one silver lining in this sort of like nothing burger of an event was one Rachel Fuda, who posted this image on her Instagram, just like all the other girlies, except for she made one slight little tweak. She made a little crop. And Teresa Giudice does not appear in the image posted on Rachel Fuda's feed. You guys, I squealed. I actually saw this. So last week, I was away for the second half of the week. I was in Charleston, you know, beloved city of Southern charm and Southern hospitality. I was at a tennis tournament in Charleston. I'm a big tennis fan, if you aren't aware. And I literally was like, you know, I was watching the tennis. I was in the moment, but then I would, you know, I would like look at my phone every so often and kind of just check in, you know, make sure the world didn't end. There was an earthquake while I was there. I was like laughing at earthquake memes in the bleachers. But at one point, I pull up my phone and I see this image. And I'm squinting at my phone because I'm sitting in the sun. And I'm like, there's something off about this. I'm like, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. This shady lady cropped the photo with no Teresa. And obviously, you know, people have wildly differing feelings about Teresa Giudice online. Whatever side you're on, to me, this is fucking exciting. Because what have we been saying for years in Jersey? It's the Teresa and Melissa thing. We can't keep doing this. We can't keep going back to this place. And seemingly this season, Melissa and Teresa are pretty much hanging it up with each other. They're not going to go there. It's not worth it. But somebody still has to go there. And you know who's going there right off the bat, but a month before the show even starts? Rachel Fuda. She's back for a second season. I think that she is primed to have a good season. And I think whether or not you like her, whether or not you agree with who she cropped out of the photo, this to me is star behavior. And I think that we should not be looking for people to just agree with us on these shows. We should be looking for people to make a statement. And cropping Teresa out of the cast photo when you repost it on your Instagram is a fucking statement. So Rachel Fuda, hats off to you. I hope that the rest of the season of New Jersey is giving messy in the same way. But that's all for now that we have for New Jersey. I'm like, that's all. Bye, guys. 5 minutes. We're good. No, we have more to talk about. The next thing to talk about is a little bit it's a little bit tricky. It's a little bit tough. And this is that last week, Faith Storrs, formerly of Vanderpump Rules cast acclaim, Faith Storrs filed a lawsuit against the production companies of Vanderpump Rules, Bravo, and Bravo's parent company, NBC Universal, for discrimination, retaliation, and other claims, saying that she was, quote, subjected to racism, sexual harassment, and physical assault in just her first season. I feel like this exists in the same world as the other lawsuits we've seen recently. There is clearly a feeling among people who feel they have been wronged, that now is a time to kind of come back for some being made right. But I do think it's important to know, I don't think that this suit from Faith really is that similar to the things that we've seen from Leah, from Brandy Glanville. Because with Faith, I think the story that we first talked about in 2020, it really goes to something deeper. And it's less about the network practices that, you know, some people think need to be reformed and, you know, probably do to a certain extent. And a lot more about the things that Faith's fellow cast members did to her and said about her and put her through. And so a lot of the stuff in this lawsuit goes back to those things that we talked about in 2020, which, you know, if you don't recall, I'm not going to, you know, go through the full rundown, but essentially when Faith was on the show the first time around, there was a situation where Kristen and Stassi were, you know, joking about calling the cops on Faith and saying that she had committed Grand Theft Auto. And basically it turned into this whole thing where in the climate of summer 2020, this was no longer viewed as a laughing matter, as it shouldn't have been from the start. And this is when Kristen and Stassi were fired from Vanderpump Rules. Brittany and Jax left the show later that year, not directly connected to this situation, but I think, you know, it's all happening under the same roof. And now, a few years later, I think it's worth noting that this is happening just a few weeks after Kristen is back starring on a Bravo show. Lala is also a major focus of the complaints that Faith has made in the lawsuit. And, you know, Lala is still thriving on Vanderpump Rules. She never really got any of the same consequences that the rest of them did. And this, I think, is interesting. The Lala stuff, I think, is sort of the biggest new information, or at least new to me. If somebody has been deeper in the Give Them Lala lore over the last couple of years, you might already know about this. But I just want to read this. I'm going to read this part. I'm reading from page 6, just so I don't get this wrong. So separately in the suit, Stowers also claims she was a victim of sexual harassment and physical violence, noting she developed feelings for Pump Rule star Lala Khan, and producers allegedly forced them to share a bed on a cast trip. Quote, production pressured Khan and Stowers to get intimate and touch each other sensually on camera. All of this was greatly distressing to Stowers. And then Faith alleges at one point in the suit that when her relationship with Lala, you know, deteriorated, she says Lala allegedly pulled a knife on her, quote, holding it to her neck and threatening to cut a bitch with cameras rolling. What? What are we doing here? What's this? If there's truth to, if there's truth to this, obviously it's extremely disturbing and upsetting and problematic. I don't know if there's truth to this. I don't have any more information than what I just read. I certainly, all the stuff with Kristen and Stassi was pretty true. So TBD on this, but I think that this suit feels like it has a little bit more, I don't want to say it's more important than the others that we've talked about, but I just think it ties back into real societal issues and problems with how people are treated. And, you know, Faith feeling like, or even being told that she was cast on the show to add diversity and then really being treated badly, at least in some part due to her being a Black woman. You can't separate those things. And even if not everything in this suit turns out to have happened exactly the way that she's alleging, I think it's fair to say that there was a lot of mishandling of her being on the show. So I don't know. I kind of hope she gets something. She's accusing NBC and Evolution, the production company, of trying to cover up the incident with Lala. She claims she was discouraged about speaking both to the police or the media. I think that at the end of the day, it is a good thing when everybody feels like they have their voice and like they can tell their truth. And so kind of whatever comes of this, I'm glad that she feels like she can talk about it. But yeah, I guess we'll see kind of where that goes. I think it's tough. I mean, the Valley and Vanderpump Rules are, I guess, going strong. So it's, you know, do what you got to do, Faith. And I think it is also worth noting, she has the same attorneys that have been working with Bethany, and we'll see. I think a big we'll see there. I know that's not a satisfying conclusion, but you know, this story has not been. Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? Well, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. Splash Refreshers are the delicious zero-calorie beverage I'm reaching for again and again when I'm feeling thirsty for something flavorful. I believe in the three beverage rotation on my desk at all times. One for caffeinating, one for hydrating, and one for fun. But Splash spices it up by putting the fun and hydration in one. I don't have to dread my 8 cups of water a day. I just drink Splash and like it. Lately, my go-to office beverage has been the Splash Wild Berry flavor. It's so nice to just put a few in the fridge at the beginning of the week, grab one whenever you want something nice and refreshing. It's just the right amount of flavor, just the right amount of sweetness. You know the vibes. When you want something refreshing, when you want something hydrating, Splash is the perfect thing to reach for. It perfectly blends refreshing fruit flavors with just a little bit of sweetness, all with zero sugar and zero calories. And it's available in 5 craveable flavors. Wild Berry, that's my favorite, Acai Grape, Pineapple Mango, Lemon, and Mandarin. In orange. It's there to satisfy your need for hydration with a little flavor. Consider your hydrated self thriving. Find Splash Refresher today on Amazon and Instacart or at your local Walmart, Sam's Club, or Kroger. Shall we talk about Top Chef? I think we shall. So we're 3 episodes into the season. If you are not caught up get caught up. 3 episodes, 2 Last Chance Kitchens, which is important. We will be talking about Last Chance Kitchen. But yeah, 3 episodes in, we're in Wisconsin, Milwaukee to be specific. And I think this season is off to a great start. This is, of course, coming off of a season 20 that was historic in numerous ways. The World All-Stars format was just pretty epic. There's no other way to say it. We were in London. We were in Paris. It was Padma's last season. So I think that coming back to this season, I felt like it was a time for Top Chef to kind of, I don't know if go back to its roots is the right word, because I don't think they need to, like, you know, strip it down. But I think going back to a sort of normal season of Top Chef, where we're meeting new people, we're seeing lots of cool things, we're in a place that most people wouldn't think of as this, you know, culinary destination. And we have a new host. And I think that Kristen Kish is doing a pretty excellent job right off the bat. Tom and Gail and Padma had a rapport and a dynamic that I think is hard to replicate in any reality competition show. I mean, I think that they are sort of a gold standard of people who are doing this work. And so I think for Kristen to come in, we still have Tom and Gail, of course. I think that casting someone from the Top Chef background was a really, really smart choice on the part of, you know, production, I guess, the network, whoever makes those choices. Because Kristen is able to offer a bit of perspective that even Padma, you know, as masterful a job as she did on this show, Padma, Tom, and Gail don't have that sort of homegrown experience with the competition, being in the competition. And I thought that the way that Kristen handled the sort of intro to the season, you know, they ask everybody, oh, who's been nominated for a James Beard Award? Who's worked in a Michelin star kitchen? We see a lot of hands go up, but not all of them. And the way that Kristen followed that up by saying, now who didn't raise their hand? Just know that when I came on Top Chef, I had worked 3 cook jobs and I was a sous chef. So Kristen saying right off the bat, she didn't have this prestigious resume. She wasn't, you know, opening her own restaurants. She was kind of an underdog on her season. And then on top of that, she got eliminated. She went through Last Chance Kitchen. She won. She came back. She really has that breadth of experience to speak to anything that somebody is going through in the competition. And so I'm excited for that dynamic. I think it's already playing out really well. And I think that because Top Chef is sort of like a well-oiled machine, like they do what they do so well, it's really benefiting Kristen because she doesn't have to come in here and do too much. This is not a show where it feels like the host is expected to sort of perform. I mean, as obsessed as we all are with Alan coming on Traitors, this is a completely opposite job. Kristen's job is to go in there, to be knowledgeable about what she does, to present these challenges and these guests and these, you know, cultural things that they're touching on in a capable way, which she's absolutely doing. And she's a judge. You know, she's doing a great job judging. We've seen her as a guest judge in prior seasons. She's not really new to this. And so I think it's been great to see her kind of just fall right in line and do a great job. And I think that this season with the chefs, likewise, has a really strong crop of contestants, of chef-testants, as we say, in the kitchen. One of my things, I've talked about this with the past couple seasons that I've recapped Top Chef, I think that they are the best in the business when it comes to casting a diverse, interesting, really, really talented group of contestants. And I think that extends in so many different directions. I mean, we have Dan, who is dealing with this degenerative disease that he has opened up about in the last couple episodes. He decided to share with the rest of the contestants at the end of episode 2 about this disease that he has. It's similar to ALS, where he's slowly losing this motor function. He wears braces on his legs. He has these symptoms that he's dealing with on a daily basis. And this show makes me goddamn cry every season. Watching him open up about that, watching Rosica, who I think is a standout already on this season, talk about her being queer. We have Kenny, who, you know, went home in episode 3, but he was so excited and proud to rep his Vietnamese cuisine. We have Kevin, who has been on Top Chef France, or Kevin. I love that it's Kevin with an accent on the E. Everybody just calls him Kevin, but I feel like we should be saying, like, Kiva, right? He's very handsome. As you might recall, I tend to have Top Chef crushes. And my main Top Chef crush so far this season is Manny. Manny is from Mexico. His food looks amazing. He won the first week challenge with a pozole that really made me want pozole, and I might be blushing right now, but Manny's very good and very talented, and he was in the bottom 3 this past episode, which really made me nervous, because there's nothing worse than when you have a Top Chef boyfriend and he gets sent home on, like, episode 3, and then you're like, what are we doing now? I have to develop a new crush? Like, that was the love of my life, and now I have to have a new love of my life for the rest of the season. Or you could just watch the show, but, like, whatever. Manny's one of my favorites so far. I'm very into Michelle, our pit master, our barbecue chef extraordinaire, who, by way of being a barbecue chef, a lot of the more kind of technical, more sort of fancy things I would say that they're being asked to do are a little bit out of her comfort zone, but she's doing a great job. She won episode 3. She won the elimination challenge at the Top Chef Cheese Festival. She, I think, is really one to watch. And also, I love her energy. Amanda is kind of fun. She says that people say she sounds like Daria. I think she's kind of giving Kamala Harris, or maybe like that girl on TikTok who does the Kamala Harris impression with the laughing. Yeah, it's kind of giving that. But whatever, she's fun. Rosica, who I mentioned before, I think that she is a sort of a top contender starting off the season. She won the main challenge in episode 2, which was the bar snacks team challenge, which is really interesting. Again, like I said, I think that Top Chef is best in the business when it comes to casting and storytelling with the contestants. And I also think that they are best in the business when it comes to creating unique, interesting, exciting, surprising challenges that are both really highlighting everything that the region has to offer. You know, the cheese and the Door County cherries in episode 3. In episode 2, they're doing a quick fire with hops because beer is also a big thing in Wisconsin. This bar snacks challenge, I think, was so smart. They're in teams of 7, if you haven't watched the episode, and they have a list of traditional bar snacks that they have to make elevated dishes with. And so it's a 7-course tasting menu. And so it's like pickles, popcorn, potato chips, pretzels, olives. That's so smart. And you can do so many different things with all of this. And the person who I was the most skeptical of was Rosica, who had pretzels. And she was like, I'm going to make a pretzel dessert. Great. Love. I love like a peanut butter pretzel, like ice cream situation. But no, she's saying that she's doing something with mustard in it. And to be perfectly honest, I don't love mustard. So I'm like a little bit like, I don't know if I would like really be into that. But Rosica wins the damn challenge. That's always, I think it's so great when somebody comes on Top Chef and they have an idea that sounds objectively like not a good idea, especially to my unrefined palate, And then it's like, no, you did exactly what you were supposed to do. You came in with something creative. You surprised everyone. You impressed everyone. And that's what being a top chef is all about. God, I am on my soapbox right now. Do you see the way I talk about this show? Back in the first challenge, I also thought what they did was really smart, where they, the first challenge, they split up into not groups, but they drew names of judges. And each judge asked for a different thing that people usually have trouble with on Top Chef. So Kristen chose soup, Gail wanted stuffed pasta, and Tom asked for a perfect roasted chicken dish with light meat, dark meat. And I thought that was so fun too. Off the bat, getting a little bit of, I thought it was a good chance for Kristen to sort of, there was a little bit of judge's personality within the challenge. So I thought that was great. And it was interesting to see different people with different challenges. And then the way they handled that, because it is a little bit tough comparing, you know, who made a better soup to who roasted a better chicken. The bottom three then had a 20-minute cook-off with the leftovers, anything that was left in the kitchen from everybody cooking their initial dishes, which is just kind of diabolical, but also like, I love that. Spring has sprung, and that means it is time for some spring cleaning. Whether that means stocking up on cleaning supplies or swapping out your winter clothes for new spring ones, make sure you are using Ibotta to get real cash back with every purchase. Ibotta is a free app that gives you the most cash back every time you shop on hundreds of items, from groceries to beauty supplies to toys, so you can make sure you're shopping smarter, not harder, no matter what you are purchasing. The average Ibotta user earns $256 per year. That could cover the cost of a spring wardrobe refresh, a new warm weather bedding set, or a flight for that summer getaway you've been eyeing. Other apps, they give you points that don't amount to much. But with Ibotta, you just add your offers in the app, upload your receipt, and you get real cash that you can cash out to your bank account, PayPal, or gift cards. Join the over 50 million users and earn cash back every time you shop from over 2,700 brands and retailers, including all your favorite grocery stores, Lowe's, Macy's, Sephora, Best Buy, and more. Right now, Ibotta is offering our listeners $5 just for trying by using the code MENTION when you register. Just go to the App Store or Google Play Store and download the free Ibotta app to start earning cash back and use code MENTION. That's Ibotta in the Google Play or App Store and use code MENTION.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. What I love about Shopify is basically how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. I know we use Shopify here at Betches, and honestly, anyone with any kind of business could really benefit from Shopify. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/betches, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/betches now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/betches.
We got to talk. We have a couple things to talk about. And this 20-minute cook-off plays into one of them, because the guy that goes home on the first episode is this man, David. I'm looking at a photo of him right now. And David, to me, is like that rapper Young Gravy who I can't quite tell if like if he's serious or if it's like just a bit. But it's like that guy, Ariana was in one of his music videos a few years ago. It's like Young Gravy mixed with an Andy Samberg obnoxious SNL character. Do you see the vision here? If you've watched it, you'll get it. He's wearing a cowboy hat and these like oversized glasses. He goes home first, which first of all, he sucked. He was annoying. He was like, you know, pasta's not my thing. I hate pasta. You know, Tom's hats suck. My man, it is episode one. What do you think you're here to do? But anyway, he goes home. Episode two, Valentine goes home. First of all, great name. I don't know the background of it. Valentine. I love it. So Valentine gets sent to Last Chance Kitchen. He walks into Last Chance Kitchen. He's the only one there. Where's David? No mention of David. Instead, we have this man, Sue, who walks in and he is the 16th contestant on the season, Tom tells us. And they are doing something with Last Chance Kitchen that is so, so twisty and so sneaky. And I just don't know if I am behind it. It just feels a little bit like this is Top Chef. Top Chef is a well-oiled machine, as I said. It works. And the thing about when something works, if it ain't broke, you usually don't fix it. And it feels like with this guy, Sue, that they are, the idea is that he is this like stealth under the radar contestant who is going to compete on Last Chance Kitchen and then like shock everyone and get back in. It feels like they are duping us with Last Chance Kitchen, because if he doesn't win, it's going to be so underwhelming and it will be like he never existed in the first place. Meanwhile, I just want Last Chance Kitchen to be about the last chance in the kitchen with our eliminated chefs. So Sue has now won, spoiler, the first two challenges in Last Chance Kitchen. So he sent Valentine packing. He sends Kenny packing with a eggplant parm with stinky cheese. And I just want to say, I have nothing against Sue. Sue seems like a cool guy. He obviously seems like a talented chef. Why not just have 16 chefs on the season? I was expecting almost, when I heard that there was a surprise Last Chance Kitchen participant, I was expecting it to be someone from a past season who like got sent home really early or something. And, you know, now they're coming back to win it all. They've done that on like Drag Race before. But no, it's just like another random guy. So we'll see. I think Top Chef has earned my trust and my recognition that they usually know the right thing to do, but I'm a little bit hesitant. And I'm curious, if you're watching Top Chef this season, do you feel a little bit cheated by Last Chance Kitchen, or do you feel like it's a fun new addition? Because I just don't know yet. So we'll put a pin in that. The other change this season, which I don't really have an issue with, is that immunity is no longer coming from quick fire wins, but rather if you win an elimination challenge, then you get immunity for the next elimination challenge. I don't know. I see both sides of this. I don't really have an issue with it. I think the immunity oftentimes ends up being a little bit of an afterthought anyway. Like, sure, it's nice to know that you can't go home, but also like I would love to look at the data of Top Chef seasons past and see how many times the winner of immunity really likely would have gone home. Because I just feel like it's like, you know, cream rises, immunity rises to the top. I don't know. Like, I didn't think Rossica was in danger of going home. Whatever. We'll see how that plays out. I do like the quick fires, though. And I'm, you know, they have cash prizes for them, which is cool. I hope that the quick fires don't start feeling stupid. Because that's the thing with Top Chef. Nothing feels stupid. And I appreciate that because I don't like to feel stupid. And I don't like to feel like I'm investing my time in stupid things. I wanted to stay smart. If I wanted something stupid, I'd watch like Chopped. No disrespect to Chopped, but it's like I want to watch people make good food. I want to watch talented, iconic chefs making food that I want to try. Or sometimes food that I don't want to try, but I still understand. You know? Anyway, we'll check in on Top Chef, you know, here and there. I'm very invested in this season now, and I know some of you are as well, so I don't want to just abandon it. I'm not going to be doing the full weekly recaps this season, but, you know, it's happening, and it is important. To finish off this episode, I just want to acknowledge that Lori Peterson, a couple days ago on Instagram, posted that her son, Josh Waring, passed away after a long, long battle with addiction. She, if you are unfamiliar, forgot she's an original Real Housewife of Orange County. It truly goes back to the first days of the franchise. We saw her really going through it, you know, even back in those early days of the show, when Josh was a teenager. They were already struggling, and you know, he's been through a lot. He has a daughter. Lori posted, I just think, the most beautiful caption, the most beautiful tribute to her son over the weekend. So I would really, I'm not going to read the whole thing because I won't be able to get through it, but I would really recommend going to look at that. There were so many lovely comments on this post, you know, from housewives. I'm just scrolling through right now. It's Gretchen, Tamra, Lizzie, Kelly Dodd is in there, you know, Gina Keough, Joe De La Rosa, Slade Smiley wrote a long thing. Just Peggy Thanos. Really, this hit me in a way that I was not expecting. But it was so tough and so nice to see the support. I'll read the comment from Andy, because I thought the comment from Andy was, I don't know. Lori, I'm so sorry. This is heartbreaking. You tried so hard to save him, and by sharing Josh's story, you wound up educating people around the world about the tragedy of addiction for those who are touched by it. May Josh's memory be a blessing to you always. Sending your family all my love. Heart. I think something that I have always felt about Real Housewives, and I've talked about this with some guests and things, is that one of the things that I think is really cool and really special about this franchise and this sort of whole thing is that it exposes us to so many different realities, and we see so many struggles and triumphs and situations that different people are going through. And of course, some of it is silly and you know, lighthearted and first world problems and all of that. But over the years, we've seen so many people struggling with so many really real things on Real Housewives. And I think that Lori, going all the way back to the first days of this franchise, Lori and what her family went through is just the exemplification of that. And, you know, I hope their family is doing okay. I can't imagine going through this. But, you know, I think Andy's right. Hopefully somebody saw that show, somebody saw what they were going through and got some hope or some inspiration or, you know, something. And, you know, it's a struggle. It's a struggle. And I hope that Lori and everyone is doing okay. But that's all for today. I know, sorry to end on a downer. I wanted to acknowledge that. Thank you so much for listening. Truly, you can like, review the show. And until next time, be cool. Don't be all like uncool.
Mention It All is produced by Dylan Hafer and Shannon Sassone. Editing by Shannon Sassone. Social media by Dylan Hafer. Guest booking by Allie Friedlander. Be sure to follow at Bravo by Betches on Instagram and Twitter.
Thank you to our sponsor, Splash Refresher. Meet the water beverage that loves self-care as much as you do. Just because you have to hydrate doesn't mean it has to be tasteless. Splash Refresher makes hydration deliciously easy. Splash perfectly blends refreshing fruit flavors with just a little bit of sweetness, all with zero sugar and zero calories. I am going to go grab myself a wild berry splash now that I am done recording, and you should too. Consider your hydrated self thriving. Find Splash Refresher today on Amazon and Instacart or at your local Walmart, Sam's Club, or Kroger.
Betches.